good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. And always we want to invite you to join us in our Zoom Fellowship Worship Service right after this message and meditation that you're watching here on YouTube. And if, to join that, you can find the links for the Zoom Fellowship Service in the e-newsletter or the weekly update. If you don't receive those and you're watching this on YouTube, you can click the Show More button right below, and you can find the ways that you can sign up to receive either the e-newsletter or weekly update. And also, if you find this service to be uplifting and inspiring, we really appreciate your donations to support Unity Center of Light. And you can find the many ways of doing it, again, by clicking on that Show More button below. And we appreciate all your donations. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Welcome and good morning, Unity family. Welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, February the 19th. And the key word is aspire. The affirmation is, I aspire to help create a world that works for all. I hold a vision of an equitable world, a global community that supports and encourages all people to live fully and reach their unique potential. I feel a kinship with those who hold a similar vision and work to realize it. My past experiences and present perspective show me what is mine to do and how I can contribute to realizing my vision. I trust I will be guided and inspired to find avenues of service where the things I do best and most enjoy doing will be most helpful. I bless people I may never meet, and I offer my time, talents, and effort to further my vision of a new way of living. With clarity of purpose, I take my place among a growing network of caring, visionary souls. The scripture reading is from Ephesians 4:11-12, and it reads, "The gifts he gave were to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So we're off on another journey. The grace of God is sufficient, right? That is, it's a mouthful to think about. And we're going to talk more about that title in a moment. But first, let's acknowledge that this coming Wednesday, February the 22nd, is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the 40 days of Lent. Now, this year's Lenten booklet is titled 40 Days of Letting Go. And what is interesting is that it is commonly believed that the Lenten period has to do with events in the Bible of the 40 days leading up to the resurrection. Now, the following Bible scriptures are used to support this belief. And it says, you know, Lent is connected with the 40-day fast that Jesus underwent. Mark tells us that Jesus was tempted by Satan, but it is in Matthew and Luke that the details of the temptation are fleshed out. All these accounts say that Jesus went without food for the 40 days. However, if you really look up to, you know, try to understand how did Lent happen, where did it come from, if I look at the works of Reverend Bonnie Bernard in her article, Metaphysical Lent, Transformation by Choice. She says, Lent is a practice created by the church institution. In other words, the church created it, and there is no authorization for it anywhere in the New Testament. Now, she does say that the idea has a sound spiritual basis in that Moses, Elijah, and Jesus set a precedent for it. Each observed a 40-day period of prayer and fasting as a preparation for their spiritual work that they had coming up. You know, Moses received the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai at the conclusion of his fast. Elijah talked with God on Mount Horeb at the conclusion of his period of prayer and fasting. And Jesus began his great spiritual ministry at the close of his fast in the wilderness. So, Reverend Bonnie Bernard, she explains this. She says the number 40 is frequently used in the scriptures to indicate a completed preparation for something to follow. When we consider Lent as a completed season for retreat from the things of the world, for the purpose of cleansing our minds so that we can reconnect with the things of spirit, it becomes a true season for preparation for the resurrection of our mind from the darkness of our fears, doubts, and false beliefs so that we can enter into the light of divine understanding. Okay, so regardless of how Lent came about, that explanation of the 40-day process, the 40-period process, because it could be days, it could be, you know, years like it was with Moses in the wilderness. But again, it's the 40 that's important. We're preparing for something. So this idea that this is the idea we're going to explore in this lesson, that the 40-day Lenten journey is for each of us the completing of a process of cleansing and renewal for the purpose of preparing ourselves to resurrect into a new state of consciousness. Okay. Now, this will prepare us so that we'll be ready and able to embrace something in our lives that's going to be revealed. Now, if you think about it, we are on a continuous Lenten journey because there's always something we need to prepare ourselves for. Think about it, isn't it right? Stuff always comes up that we weren't even thinking about, or maybe we were thinking about. But we need to prepare ourselves whether or not we realize, you know, that our life is going to change, because life keeps changing. And we're not just talking about challenging changes. We're also talking about joyful, exciting changes. Think about it. There may be things coming up in our lives that can bring us great joy, but at the same time can cause some anxiety when you think about transitioning into it, okay? A good example is, you know, for me, retiring from the college after 42 years. Even though every fiber of my being knew it was time to retire, and Pamela and I were excited about what we pictured life after college to be like, there were a lot of unanswered questions. And of course, now that we are fully retired from the college, we can't imagine how we got all the things done for church and other activities in our lives while working at the college. You know, it's like the void of not working at the college was filled. And it's filled with a lot of things, exciting things that we enjoy doing, like the work we do with the church and the other things we do in our lives. So sometimes it's difficult for any of us to detach from something we have been connected to for a long time so that we can move on to the next phase of our lives. Even if we have lost the connection to the thing we need to let go of. So you see what I'm saying? So I had lost the connection to, you know, the work I was doing at the college, but still there was a little bit of angst in letting go, okay? So if we are truly on a spiritual journey, which we are, you know, we're on a spiritual journey, which we know, whether we know it or not, or whether we can acknowledge it or not. But being on this spiritual journey, we're always in preparation mode because the spiritual journey keeps waking us up to realizing that there is something more, something different from what we are presently experiencing. And this doesn't mean that where we are geographically or what we are, what or how we're presently living our lives is not going well. It doesn't mean that things are not good right now. No, the wake-up call is usually in reference to where we are in consciousness. And that wake-up call from spirit causes us to reevaluate certain aspects of our lives and what more we could be doing and to live our lives more fully, okay? So the phrase, live our lives more fully is really subjective, because each one of us has a different interpretation of what more fully means to us. What more fully to me will look very different from more fully to you, okay? And it could be that the experience of awakening poses possibilities that could be more than we are capable of imagining for ourselves, okay? And that's why I'm saying we're always on this Lenten journey. We're always in this 40-day period, okay? Because we're always opening our minds up to the possibility of new things entering into our conscious awareness. And this is where the grace of God comes into play, okay? Matter of fact, the song, you know, we know the song. It said, you know, there was a time in my life I thought I had to do it all by myself. I didn't know the grace of God was sufficient. Didn't know the love of God was at hand. But now I can say, if I am discouraged and struggling to make it through another day, I've got to let it go. Let it all go. Okay. And it's interesting. I think last year's Lenten journey, remember for the last several years, is always about this idea of letting go. Okay. Or being willing to let go when new possibilities, you know, come available to you. Okay. And yes, again, that can be easier said than done, but this idea of knowing, and you hear me say this a lot, really knowing that the grace of God is sufficient is the key to successfully transversing the spiritual path. And I use that word transverse because it means moving side to side, forward, backward, forward again. And this, I think, is how it is for many of us. You know, we're transversing the spiritual path. It's not just a straight shot for us, but we find ourselves going side to side, going, you know, a few steps forward, a few steps backward, and a few steps forward again, okay? But it's also possible that as we become more comfortable in working with spirit, now that's very important, as we become more comfortable in working with spirit, because it does take some getting used to, okay? The more we do it, the more we will come to know that the grace of God is sufficient. And God's grace will get us through whatever it is we need to move through. Okay? Now, just to be sure that we're all on the same page about grace, what does grace mean? Let's look at how it's defined here. It says, grace has been defined as the divine influence which operates within each of us to regenerate and sanctify, I'll explain that in a minute, to inspire good moral impulses and to impart the strength to endure the hard times and resist temptation to give in to doubt and fear. Grace is the strength we receive from the indwelling Lord of our being to stay spiritually centered, okay? So when we hear the grace of God is sufficient, that statement means exactly what it says. Basically, the activity of God within us is really all that we need, okay? And if you can combine that thought with the words regenerate and sanctify, and then statement we just read, it means the grace of God moves us mentally, physically, and emotionally away from whatever it is that is troubling us and sets us up for the new possibilities that are getting ready to manifest before us, okay? So this divine activity of grace is constantly occurring within us. This divine activity of grace is constantly occurring within us. We are constantly being set up for new possibilities that will come into our lives, okay? All we need to do is be still so that we can become aware of the fact that the grace of God is at work within us and within our lives, okay? Now, that's a mouthful. That's a lot to take in, but we're going to keep expanding on that. So in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, for note takers, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, there are powerful verses explaining how the grace of God is sufficient and constantly working within us, However, the language of the verses can cause some folks to be thrown off from its spiritual significance, okay? So using the Message Bible and the Living Bible, I did a metaphysical paraphrase of the verses. But if you want to read them in their, you know, their actual, in the NIV or New King James or whichever one you're used to, I invite you to go and look at them. Now, it's a long reading, but I believe it is the basis for a good understanding of the fact that the grace of God is sufficient. And it's on two slides. Okay, so here we go. So that I won't get a big head, I was given the gift of my humanness, you know, my how I make mistakes and, you know, things in life and can frustrate me, to keep me in constant touch with what I can and cannot do on my own, okay? Life's challenges did their best to get me down and sometimes push me to my knees. But this kept me from walking around all high and mighty, believing that I could do life all by myself. At first, I didn't think of life's challenges as a gift, and I begged God to remove them. Three times, I asked God to remove them. And then God told me, my grace is sufficient for you. It is all that you need. So God's saying, I don't need to take this away from you. Just turn to my grace, which is sufficient to you, for you. My strength comes into its own in your confusion and worry and fear and doubt to give you a new understanding of what is truly possible for you. Now, this next slide is our response. Once I heard that that the grace of God is sufficient for me, I was glad to let it happen, to let God into my life. I quit focusing on what I thought I couldn't handle on my own and began appreciating the gift of my challenges. It made me aware that through grace, the strength of the Christ was moving in on my doubts and fears. So now I take my limitations in stride, knowing with good cheer that when struggles and worries and bad breaks and overwhelming challenge try to cut me down to size, I just let Christ take over. And the more I am able to let go, the stronger I become. And like I said, that was a long reading, but what a powerful reading, all right? So now that we at least have an intellectual understanding about the grace of God and how it works, I say intellectual understanding because we don't really know it until we begin to work it and live it, okay, experience it. So now that we have an intellectual understanding about the grace of God and how it works in our lives, let's talk about how we get to the place where we become able to let go and let the Christ being the spiritual nucleus within each of us, to take over while knowing that in our letting go, we're actually becoming stronger. Okay. Now, in our Thursday night discussion group this past Wednesday, and if, you know, there's always been about 14, 15, 16 of us, powerful individuals getting together to share and ask deeper questions and to push into deeper answers to the questions. I really appreciated that group on Wednesday night. Okay. I really appreciate that group on Wednesday night. So we had another awesome conversation this past week, and it had to do with faith. Actually, it had to do with levels of faith. And this whole discussion that we're doing today, and actually any discussion about God and our relationship to God, comes down to faith. And I say that because due to the reality that this idea called God is so abstract and esoteric, it can be hard to kind of wrap our minds around it, all right? And the word abstract meaning existing in thought, like I said, as an intellectual, or as an idea, but not having actual physical concrete existence, okay? So that's what makes faith so challenging. So our faith, when fully grasped, can give us the assurance that what we are hoping for, but cannot yet see, is actually happening in our lives, okay? Can't see it, praying for it, you know, having faith in it, but can't see it, okay? That's faith. But we need to know, come to know, that faith activates and inspires into action the activity of the Holy Spirit within us. Okay? So you get what I'm saying? So you're working from faith, saying, boy, I can't see anything yet, all right? Nothing seems to be happening. But we need to have this knowing that the Holy Spirit has been activated and working within us. And it is through faith that we become aware of the activity of the Holy Spirit working within us and working within our lives. Okay? And it shows up in real concrete ways as like signs that are great and small. You see big things, little things that are something is that let you know that something is happening. And as we know, whatever we are hoping for will occur in divine order and divine timing. And remember those three answers, okay? God can say yes, not yet, or I've got something better for you. But something is in action. Don't ever think to yourself, nothing is happening, okay? Our work is to keep the faith and be patient, okay? So in the Wednesday night discussion, we talked about the fact that faith is absolute, just like God is absolute, and that real faith is unchangeable and immutable, just as God is unchangeable and immutable. However, our relationship with faith is relative and subjective, okay? But the good news is we do not have to have absolute faith for faith to work in our lives. Let me say it again. The good news is we do not have to have absolute faith to have faith work in our lives. And the verse that the folks brought up, the folks in the discussion group brought up was Matthew 17:20, where Jesus answered the questions for his disciples. He came upon the disciples. They were frustrated because they couldn't help heal the boy and remove the demon from the boy, okay? And so, you know, they, you know, said to, you know, Jesus, we can't do it. You know, why can't we do it? And this is what Jesus said. It is because you have so little faith. In other words, they were trying to do it, okay? In other words, they weren't open to the activity of God moving through them. They were trying to do it themselves. Their egos were trying to do it. And he said, you couldn't do it because you have so little faith, okay? And this is really little faith compared to what he's getting ready to say. He said, however, I truly, and I put however in brackets because I stuck that in there. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Okay? So, the key here is mountain in this scripture refers to obstacles in your life that seem insurmountable. Okay, that's what a mountain is. And what Jesus is pointing out is, if you have faith that's at least the size of a mustard seed, you do have the ability to move obstacles in your life that seem insurmountable. Okay? Let me say that again, right? The stuff is going on in your life. You know, you don't have absolute faith. You have some faith, okay? But you have faith at least the size of a mustard seed, which is a tiny little seed, right? If you have that tiny little bit of faith, you still have the ability to move obstacles in your life that seem insurmountable. All right, that's inspiring to even grasp that idea. But the key to this verse is understanding what is meant by faith the size of a mustard seed, okay? Now, the revealing word explains that the mustard seed's capacity to grow to an extremely large plant is indicative of the ability of a small thought of faith to grow in consciousness until it becomes large enough to be the abiding place of higher levels of faithful thought. Okay? So if you're working with this seed of faith you have, just as the seed when planted over time keeps evolving and growing and getting bigger, it's the same thing. So if you have the faith of a mustard seed and you keep working with what you have, it will grow in consciousness until it becomes large enough to be the abiding place for higher levels of faithful thought. And this occurs as we continuously nurture the nature of our faith-filled thoughts, with nurture referring to how diligently we are working to change our nature. Okay? Nurture referring to how diligently we're willing to change our nature, meaning our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, by always turning to faith, no matter how small it might be. And continuously knowing that the grace of God is at work in all of our life and affairs. That grows the mustard seed of faith in our consciousness. And think about the idea that our thoughts are prayers and we are always praying. If this is a true reality, it means that every thought is nurturing a relationship with the divine. Our thoughts are prayers and we are always praying. If this is true, if this is a true reality, it means that every thought we have is nurturing a relationship with the divine. So the question to ask ourselves is, what are the thoughts I'm using to nurture the nature of my relationship with the divine? Is it a belief in what I can do, what I can do, or is it belief in what God can do through me? Okay. Remember the verse, 2 Corinthians 12:7. So that I won't get a big head, I was given the gift of my humanness to keep me in constant touch with what I can and cannot do on my own. Or what Jesus said in John, recorded in John 5:30, by myself, I can do nothing. So the essence of these proclamations is that it is our work to put God first in our thoughts, words, and actions. Put God first in our thoughts, words, and actions. I'm grateful that we put God first in our thoughts, words, and actions, and God is revealing to us the orderly process of our lives. That's one of my affirmations. And this is the way we grow the mustard seed. And if we do this, we will discover that what I could not accomplish with the little faith I had yesterday, I'm able to accomplish with the faith I have today. You see, our faith grows as we nurture its nature. Nurture its nature in our body, mind, soul, and spirit. Okay? And what we're striving to do is get down into the deep, fundamental cause that underlies everything that is happening in our life. And in this prayer process, we acknowledge that God is life, and we are praying for more life, and that God is love, and that we're praying for more love, and that God is peace, and we're praying for more peace, and that God is faith, and we're praying for more faith. This is the true work of prayer. Okay? So I think that's enough. I'm going to leave you with this thought from Ernest Holmes, and you can find it printed in Science of Mind magazine, February 13th, 2023, on page 46, and this is what it says. We must continue in faith until our whole mental life, both conscious and unconscious, responds to spirit. If it is our desire to pray and prosper, we must believe that spirit is both willing and able to give us the gifts we are praying for. But since spirit can only give us what we are willing to receive, and since receiving is a mental emotional act, we must train our minds to believe and receive the gifts of God. This is a secret of the power of prayer. Okay. And, you know, I'm going to use the same affirmation, leave you with the same affirmation I did last week, because it works so well for what we are been talking about today. It says, today I pray with such dedication that the line between me and the prayer fades away, and there is only me as the prayer, and the prayer as me. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
Oh, that was really, really good. I really appreciated that message. So, Unity family, let's now prepare to go into that quiet, still space. As you take this time now in meditation, take a gentle breath in and a gentle exhale out. Take in another deep breath and release it. Now, as you focus on your breath, you begin to still your thoughts and become fully present to this now moment. You leave the outer world behind for a few minutes of stillness. In stillness, you replace any negative or false beliefs with the truth. Any moment of worry or doubt is only temporary. As you turn within and let go of the outer world, you discover a place within where you connect with the truth of your being. In this space, you are always aware of your divine identity. Repeat this affirmation silently to yourself. I am confident in all things. I am confident in all things. By the power of your faith, you have the confidence to be who you need to be and the confidence to do what you need to do. Knowing this truth, let us confidently enter the secret place of the highest, where all prayers are answered. We thank you, gracious Spirit, that you've heard our prayers and you have answered them as you always do. Now live this confidence as you encounter others and go about your week. Take another gentle breath in and out and begin to return to this day, moving through it with confidence. I am confident in all things. Now gently return your attention to the activities of your day. In gratitude we say, Amen. In the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be.